Those bowheads came for animals. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this further time in thy house and being able to sit under thy word, we pray. That thou make thy word powerful tonight. We thank that his power is charged with such great spiritual power when the Spirit attends it in its ministry, in its reading, and in its preaching. Father, we pray that through it, that thou'd help us to search our hearts tonight and to see whether or not we are thy true disciples, not just outwardly attending the means of grace, thy house, worship, singing, reading and hearing the word, but whether or not we are thy disciples in our hearts, and whether or not we've been born again of thy Holy Spirit. So, Father, do help us to examine ourselves, and we're not thy children, Father, be gracious toward us tonight. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dear friends, on a Lord's Day evening at the moment, we're going through the Gospel of Mark. We're just in the first chapter. And tonight we're looking at verses 35 to 39. One of the things I like about Mark's Gospel is it's not very difficult to see the divisions and to divide up passages for text and for preaching. It's very clear, especially in this first chapter. The next passage clearly is verses 35 to 39, and the parallel passages in the other two synoptic Gospels are Matthew 4, 23 to 25, and Luke 4, 42 to 44. And as usual, I'll be bringing in those texts as I go through this passage here. So we read here, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him." Now, we're not told here or elsewhere exactly who these people were, but it's probable that it was Andrew, James and John, and there may have been some others. So Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee." And he said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout Galilee, and cast out devils. So, dear friends, this text here follows on from the one we were looking at last Sabbath day evening, which was Mark 1, 32 to 34. And in that passage, the one we were looking at last time, we saw that Mark was writing to the Gentiles, because of the gospel to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews, this one especially, about our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ's miraculous healing of many after Simon's mother-in-law. That was the previous message before last week, the healing of Simon Peter's, who was to be the Apostle Peter's mother-in-law. So that was 2 weeks ago. Last time, we saw how the Lord not only healed her, but as a result of his expelling the demon out of the man in the synagogue of Capernaum, and also healing her in Simon's house, many other people brought their sick and disease that they knew to him, along with those who were possessed with devils. And our Lord's healing ministry in Galilee, this great Galilean ministry of his, really took off and became greater and greater. So that's what we're looking at last time. Christ's miraculous healing of many after Simon's mother-in-law. And we heard first of all about those who had any sick with divers, it means various diseases, in verse 32, told in the evening time of that same Sabbath day in Capernaum, when the sun was setting, they brought to Jesus all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. They brought all their sick folk and all that had evil spirits to Christ. And secondly, we heard that all the city, or the whole town of Capernaum was on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. The whole town of Capernaum, as it were, was outside of Simon Peter's door. Those who were bringing the sick and the actual sick themselves and the demon possessed. And thirdly, we heard about our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry to those people. Christ healed many. Indeed, we read in the other Gospels, he healed all that were sick of divers or various diseases, cast out many devils, suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. What a wonderful and powerful ministry our Lord Jesus Christ had. Began to have in Galilee, and it's increasing, it's getting greater and bigger and bigger. So we're looking at those verses in Mark chapter 1 last time, which brings us into these next verses, verses 35 to 39. And here we read once again about Christ, about our Lord Jesus Christ, and about these four disciples of his, perhaps certain others also, but we're not too sure. Certainly Christ and four of his disciples, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. These were his early followers, his early disciples, and those that he was going to call to be apostles and to be those who he's going to send to preach the gospel, and they were going to do miracles in his name. And they also were going to expel demons in his name. But fundamentally and basically, these men were his disciples. They were his followers. And not just outwardly, not just an outward identification with him, an outward following of him, but they followed him from their hearts, inwardly and spiritually, because they're not only been outwardly called to follow him, they've been called inwardly to be his true disciples. And before I go any further this evening, I want to ask you whether you are somebody like this. Are you a Christian? Are you one of the Lord Jesus Christ's disciples? Are you one of his followers? I can see that you are an outward follower because you are here. You are kind of identifying with us in the Sabbath day, in the Lord's day. You're keeping the Sabbath day. As you were here this morning, now you're here this evening. You're attending church. You're hearing the readings. You're hearing the preaching. And so on. And you're joining with us in prayer and in worship. But is it more than just something which is outward? Is it more something which is just general? Is it something which is also spiritual? Has God, through his Holy Spirit, called you to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow Christ? Are you one of the Lord Jesus Christ's true and genuine spiritual followers and disciples? And I ask that because when you look at this passage here, we have a number of very clear indicators of what a disciple is like and what the Lord Jesus Christ's disciples do. Those who have sought him and found him and been saved by him, we're told here a number of things that they do, that they are going to do, and do truly and spiritually. So ask yourself that tonight. Am I really a Christian? Not just outwardly, but am I one inwardly and spiritually from my heart and from my soul, because I have been born again of the Spirit of God. And as somebody that I've heard the gospel, I believe the gospel, and I'm truly following the Lord Jesus Christ from my heart. Well, let's look at this passage here and try and bring out a number of things that not only Christ did, but his disciples do, because they are followers of him. In verse 35, we read there about our Lord's pre-dawn prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ was always praying, so should his disciples, and his disciples will be also. He prayed very early in the morning, sometimes throughout the whole of the night, and during the day as well. He was always praying. There was a great emphasis in prayer throughout the whole of his life and ministry, even when he was upon the cross, as we saw from those two readings from the two Gospels a little earlier on. So verse 35, his pre-dawn prayer. In the next two verses, 36 and 37, we read about Simon's exclamation to him. Simon speaks, he was a spokesman, wasn't he, for these disciples, as he was going to be a spokesman for all the apostles a little bit later on. So he speaks for himself and also those who are with him, his fellow disciples, Andrew, James and John. When they find Christ, Simon is to use a kind of an exclamation to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly and finally, we have here our Lord's answer to Simon, and then his subsequent ministry of preaching and further demon expulsion throughout all of Galilee. That's verses 38 and 39, rounding off tonight's text. So I want to look at these three things this evening and bring up a number of things from them, what disciples of Christ do, so we can examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. So if we start with verse 37, here we have our Lord's pre-dawn prayer. We're told, after the events of the previous evening, his healing ministry in Capernaum, from the last text, he was doing that right up until the evening, right up until sunset, and afterwards, he's ministering until very late on. We're told the very next day that our Lord Jesus Christ, after some rest, probably not a great deal of rest, not a great deal of sleep, he arose. He rose up, he got up. Perhaps he'd been sleeping in his own home, perhaps he'd been sleeping in Simon's house where he'd healed Simon's mother-in-law. But the next morning he got up, he rose up, and we're told he did so, even though he probably went to his rest and went to his bed very late the night before, he's up very early in the morning. Not just in the morning, one commentator brings it very early in the morning, a great while before day, while it was still dark or night. And so very early he gets up and he goes out, either of his own home or of Simon Peter's house. And he departs. He leaves, perhaps he leaves the town altogether. He leaves Capernaum altogether for a very secret place. He leaves the house, whether his own or Simon's, and off he goes. And it's probably, Luke adds, when it was day, or when it's just starting now to get light. And our Lord departs into a solitary place. It means a desert place, a deserted place, a lonely place or spot, or a quiet retreat. Perhaps he realizes that even Simon's home or his own is soon going to be occupied. People are going to be coming, seeking him, seeking for healing. And so he wants time, not just on his own, he wants time with his Father, having communion and fellowship with his Father. So he gets up very early. He has to do that if he's going to have this. Goes out of the house, has a certain place, just like in Jerusalem, he had a place in Gethsemane where he resorted in order to pray. So here in Capernaum, he had a place where he resorted to for secret prayer. And there he prayed. He prayed in this solitary place. We can only imagine, can't we, of the time of prayer that he had, the communion that he had with his Father, the fellowship that he had with him, his pouring out his heart in prayer before him, about what had preceded, about his ministry the day before and the evening before, and also the ministry that was coming up that day, and for strength and for grace, and for the Father and for the Spirit to be with him in that next day's ministry. We can only imagine the fervor of his prayer and the earnestness of it, and it coming from his very heart and from his very soul. He's pouring out his heart before his Father in his prayer. That's what he did. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He prayed. And he prayed throughout the whole of his life. When he was a youngster, he would have prayed. As he'd grown up, he'd have been praying to his Father, having fellowship with him. Throughout the whole of his ministry. Because, you know, especially when he knew special things were coming up, the call of the apostles. The time when he was going to be transfigured. He had special times of prayer very early in the morning. Special times of prayer during the day. He'll have had his set times. And before resting at night. And as I say, sometimes all the way through the night. He was a man of prayer. He was the Son of God. And he had fellowship with his Father from eternity past. And there was nothing better for him, nothing he enjoyed more, nothing he delighted in more than having fellowship and speaking to his Father while here upon earth. He prayed. He was not only a prince of preachers, he was the prince of prayer. You've only got to look at John chapter 17 to see in one sense how simple, yet also how spiritual and how profound his prayers were. He prayed in the Spirit and he prayed directly to the Father. And that's what the Lord is like. So if I'm one of his disciples, and if you're one of his disciples, what are you therefore going to be like? Is your life not going to be characterized, therefore, by prayer and by supplication and by thanksgiving, by all different kinds of prayer? Do you pray? Do you have special times of prayer when you get up very early in the morning sometimes? Do you pray morning and evening? Do you have times during the day when you pray? Appointed times of prayer, joining in the prayer meeting, in a midweek meeting, joining in prayer on the Lord's Day, and it not just being something that you do mechanically, like perhaps religious people, like people that are involved in cults and so on, like those who are nominal Christians, just saying the Lord's Prayer, and it's all so cold, it's all so deadly, and it's also formal, just like the difference between the prayer of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee's prayer was so cold, wasn't it? It's so impersonal, so unspiritual. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I'm so wonderful. I'm not like this publican man here. Do you pray? Because Jesus' disciples pray just like him. And if you don't pray, how can you call yourself a Christian? As soon as God's people begin to pray, even before they're converted, they ask God to have mercy upon them. They call upon him to have mercy upon them. They ask him for the grace to repent, the grace to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when they're converted, prayer becomes like breathing to them. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said about Saul of Tarsus as soon as he was converted along the Damascus Road? A little bit later on, Jesus said to Ananias, "Behold, he prayeth." Saul is now praying. That was an evidence he'd become a child of God. And God's people pray throughout the whole of their lives. They pray when they're dying and until actually they see the Lord face to face. And they pray through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they pray to the Father. And they pray from their hearts. And they pray in the Spirit. And is that what you are like? Is that what your life is like? Is it a life of prayer? Are you a man, a woman, a boy or girl of prayer? Christ's disciples pray. Do you? Not mechanically, but spiritually. And is it a kind of atmosphere that you love? You love to pray to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you have a little bit of a backslidden heart and you find that prayer is a little bit difficult. But it's still something that you do. Sometimes you battle with and struggle with. But ordinarily when you're walking with him, it's something that you delight in. God's people pray to him. And if you don't, it's an indication you're not a true child of God. Children, speak to their parents, speak to father, speak to mother. God's children, speak to their loving heavenly Father. So that's the first thing here, Christ's pre-dawn prayer. And then the next two verses here, verses 36 and 37, we're told here about Simon and those who are with him, his fellow disciples. The three of them, Andrew, James and John, and perhaps some others. And especially here, Simon's exclamation that he makes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because after Christ gets up very early upon this morning and leaves the house, whichever house it was, perhaps it was Simon's house, and he goes off to pray, perhaps his very getting up wakes Simon, and then he goes and wakes up the others. And what do? We read in verse 36 that they follow after him. Luke puts it like this, they sought him. And they find him, they come to him, and they stayed him. They asked him not to leave them, that he should not depart from them. Perhaps they felt he was going, he wasn't coming back. But they want to constrain him not to leave them and go away from them, just like the two on the Emmaus Road. Another commentator puts it, they went in search for or of Jesus with diligent, eager determination in order to find him. So they followed after the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about it, isn't that another evidence or proof and indication that somebody is a Christian? Christian is somebody who isn't seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian is somebody who's found the Lord Jesus Christ, or has been found by the Lord Jesus Christ, and has been saved by him. And they have a new nature, and they have a new start, and what are they doing? What are they following? They're not following the world anymore, are they? They're following Christ, and they're following after him. His disciples follow him, his people follow him. They follow his teachings, don't they? We read his word, and we obey his truth, we obey his exhortations, we obey his commandments, we obey his laws, and we seek to follow his example. In our life, we pray. And through grace, we seek to do works of faith and love. His people, his disciples, follow him. They take up their crosses from day to day and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And they take whatever suffering or persecution is meted out upon them and count themselves worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, what I want to know from you, my dear friend, this evening is this. Is this what you're doing? If his disciples follow him outwardly and spiritually, read his teaching, implement his teaching, follow his example, not to save them as people because they are saved, are you following after the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, by faith? Are you looking to him? Are you one day looking forward to being with him? Do you identify with his people? Just like Simon, Andrew and James and John are together here, you delight to gather with his people on the Lord's Day, perhaps midweek meetings, other meetings as well. You identify with them. Are you with them following after Christ? Following in his footsteps? Putting your prints, as it were, in his footprints, which are on this narrow way, which leads to everlasting life, everlasting glory, and to heaven above. Because if you're not following him, if you're following somebody else, some other teaching, some other religion except Christianity, believing some other gospel, again, my dear friend, you're not a Christian. A Christian is somebody who has sought Christ through grace, found him, and they know him as their own personal Lord and Saviour, and are now seeking to walk with him. Just like Enoch walked with God in his day many, many years ago, and Noah, and other Old Testament, New Testament saints walked with him spiritually. So if you're a Christian, you'll be walking with him, talking with him, day by day, until you apprehend him one day, and you see him and are like him. Don't say that you're a Christian. Don't rely on a profession which is ungodly and worldly, and one by which you're not following him and seeking to live a holy and a godly life. So they follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they find him, they say to him these words. They say, all men seek for you. Everybody, or a large crowd of people perhaps gathered again in front of Simon's house in Capernaum, is looking for you. So that's what happened the day before, the night before, all lined up outside of his house looking for healing, and those who had demons for them to be expelled. And now they're saying it's the same this morning. They're excited about it. All men are seeking for you. All men are looking for you, want you to help them. Well, finally, thirdly, in the last two verses here, 38 and 39, we have our Lord's answer to Simon and his others, and then his ministry of preaching and demon expulsion throughout all Galilee. And his answer to Simon and the others was this. Let us go. He doesn't want to be controlled by the crowd. And he doesn't want to be controlled by his disciples, Simon or any of these others. He was his own man. He was the Son of God. And he was the one who was in control as to where he should go and when. And so he says, you come with me. Let us go into the neighboring small towns. Let us go elsewhere, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth, not just from Nazareth to do this, not just from Capernaum to do this, but I've come down from heaven. He came down from heaven to seek and to save that which was lost, and to preach the gospel, to preach repentance, and to preach faith in order that sinners might be saved. Luke puts it, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. For this purpose came I forth. That was his answer. And then his continued ministry. As he went around these various places, not only Capernaum, but the surrounding villages and towns. His ministry was one of preaching. He openly proclaimed the good tidings. He heralded the gospel in their synagogues, so therefore to the Jews of Galilee. And he preached throughout the whole of Galilee, various synagogues, but outside as well, Galilee with a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. And in Matthew we read this. He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought him all sick people that were taken with various diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, or paralyzed in some way, and he healed them. There followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, down to the south and Judea, and also beyond Jordan. And finally in Mark we read that he cast out demons. He preached the gospel, and he cast out demons. So what the Lord did. His life was a life of prayer. His life was also a life, he came of course to redeem that which was lost. It was a life of preaching, proclamation, and heralding the good news, the gospel. The first things he said, repent and believe the gospel. And if that's what the Lord is like, isn't that then what his people are like? Not everybody, of course, perhaps relatively few, percentage-wise, are called to publicly proclaim the gospel. But each one of his people, just like kind of wine bottles, wine bursting in the bottles, each one of his people surely are going to be bursting to tell others about him and what he's done for their souls, saving them. And through his death upon the cross, granting them forgiveness and peace with God. It's not something they're going to be able to keep to themselves. But they're going to want to go, as these here, and preach the word. He did. The apostles went on to do this publicly and also privately as well. And if you're one of his children, surely my dear friend, you're not called perhaps to be a minister or a missionary. Preach the gospel publicly, herald it, proclaim it. But you'll be telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've always hidden yourself under a bushel, your light under a bushel, and never said a word, again, how can you possibly be a true child of God? If you're spiritually dumb, well, my dear friend, I tell you, you're also spiritually dead and blind and deaf. But if God has opened your heart and given you life, you'll want to express that life in your worship and in a good testimony and a good profession of faith. Prayer, following after him, and witnessing, testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. So that really is my conclusion tonight. So we come to an end. We looked at our Lord and his disciples, these four disciples of his, Christ's pre-dawn prayer, Simon's exclamation to him when they find him, and then finally his answer to Simon, and his continued ministry in Galilee of preaching and demon expulsion. Christ's disciples pray. Christ's disciples follow him. My sheep follow me. And Christ's disciples proclaim him, tell of him to others. So when you look at those three things, they are tests and signs and evidences of life. What do they tell you about yourself? Do they tell you, I'm a child of God? The grace of God, I've experienced the grace of God. The Spirit of God is within me. And I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. This is true of me. I do pray. I never did before. I never did properly. I never did spiritually. But I do now. I am seeking to follow him. It's not a very good walk sometimes. A bit consistent. I stumble. I fall. I go away from him. But I am seeking to follow him. And I am looking to him. Leaning upon him. Relying upon him. Trusting on him. Depending on him. Day for day for everything. Leaning upon his promises. And so on. And I am, sometimes, when the opportunity is given to me, I'm telling others what God has done for my soul, to make me glad, to make one of his dear children. Is that true of you? Well then, perhaps you are one of God's people. If not, my dear friend, you need to call upon God tonight and ask him mercy upon your soul and save you, that you might become a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.